One of the most important things I think that you can interiorize for your Catholic identity and for your strengthening in this increasingly difficult world is the fact that we are our rites. Rites in the sense of our sacred liturgical worship. We are our rites. They shape us. Over centuries and centuries, our faith has shaped them. In turn, they shape us. There's a constant, long ongoing dynamic between faith and the way we live and our rites, and then our rites would shape us, and then we live a certain way. And this has been going on for many, many centuries. We are our rites. So it's very important that we understand how we can participate in them. Our sacred rites make present to us the realities which they portray. You can partake in them by your baptismal character. Remember that sacramental reality, the mysteries that are made present to you and you to them through the sacramental signs, the outward signs, they make these mysteries present to you. The sacramental reality is not less real than things that we can taste or hear or smell. They're just as real. It's just that we have to dispose ourselves differently to experience them and understand them and be transformed by them. We can't be locked up merely in the outward signs of the thing itself, but we should always be striving by no understanding ourselves as baptized persons, members of the mystical person of Christ, temples of the Holy Spirit, given many graces, to understand ourselves as active participants always in these mysteries through our receptivity, through what Holy Church, through what Jesus wants to give us through these outward signs. We have to dispose ourselves properly to receive the transforming might of what is behind the signs. That's a challenge for you, especially as we enter into this Holy Week. Indeed at every Mass, and indeed at every moment of our sacred liturgical worship, this is always the case. We are our rites. These outward signs make present to us the mysteries that they signify. These mysteries have the power to transform us when we encounter them and we are properly disposed to receive what it is that we are being offered. That's a preamble for how we participate, especially in our Holy Week. Now, what are some of the mysteries that we enter into in this time? Well, today, our Lord comes to Jerusalem mounted on the colt of an ass. He's demonstrating himself to be in the line of the Davidic priest kings by doing so. They put cloaks over its back and they lead him from Bethany to Jerusalem. Crowds follow him from Bethany, crowds flowing all into the city, strewing the way with branches, and along a very well-trodden road, so familiar to them because the Jews had to make pilgrimages year in and year out, several times a year. And our Lord remains mostly silent in this time, except to teach the Pharisees about the inevitability of God's loving plan. And with each turn and rise, there are glimpses of the city revealed, glimpses of the temple. All along, people are going along singing the psalms that the pilgrims would sing when they would go up to Jerusalem on solemn festivals. And they're singing. Suddenly, they change their tune. And instead of singing the psalms that they would be singing at the time of Passover in the spring festival, they start singing the songs that they would sing in the fall, at the time of Sukkot, at the time of Tabernacles, at the time of the harvest festival, when they have these ceremonies of the pouring of wine and water, and the people in the temple would wave palm branches toward the altars as they sang the songs. Because what that looked back to was the time in the wilderness, but what it looked forward to, that Jewish festival, they always looked forward and they looked backwards and forwards. And what they looked forward to was the return of the presence of God to the temple. You remember that when they lost the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of the cloud, the glory cloud of God's presence was gone. And so Sukkot was partly about the day when God would return to the temple. And so here they're going up to Jerusalem, and they switch from singing the spring songs to the autumn harvest songs, the songs that are related to Sukkot, when they're looking forward of the return to God in the temple, the return of God to the temple. And here's our Lord, the Davidic priest, king, Messiah. They're looking at him, and they're thinking that he is the one who is going to go up to the temple and offer sacrifice, and God's presence will return to the temple. And indeed, God's presence did return to the temple in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the pilgrims, of course, would turn on him very swiftly. And they eventually, our Lord then that evening, would return to the from the Temple Mount down to Bethany. It's on the eastern slope of the Mount of Olives. And they began to count the short days for the preparation of the Passover and the slaughter of the lambs and the eating of the Paschal meal. And during that time, during the week that intervenes now between this moment with the palms and the singing of those songs, you would hear our Lord curse the fig tree, the fruitless fig tree. He cleansed the temple. He heals the sick. He speaks about the tribute to Caesar. And he speaks with the Greeks. Greek Gentiles come. Greeks come, and they say they want to see the Lord. They want to be with the Lord. And that's when the Lord says that this is the final sign, that his hour had come. And read about this in Isaiah chapter 2. The Greek, when the Gentiles would come to adore the one true God, that would be the sign of the age of salvation. And that's when the Lord, you'll remember this, you'll remember how the Lord, about how the Lord at that point says, now is my hour come, as soon as he hears that the Gentiles have come. That's one of the reasons why, by the way, he was so furious with the people who had set up tables and so forth and were doing business in the temple, because they had encroached on the courtyard of the Gentiles. So the Gentiles had no place to come to adore the one true God. And that's why he was, because that is a sign that when the Gentiles come, that's a sign. And so the Gentiles come to him, the first fruits of his passion drawn to him as a final sign that his hour had come. And he would state now the great commandment and teach about the parables of the laborers and the vineyard and about the king's son and the wedding garment. And then he has his discourse to his disciples about the last things, with the images of the wise virgin and the foolish virgins, the parable of the talents and the final reckoning. This is all going to happen between this time of Palm Sunday and the Triduum. And then Judas, driven by greed, later possessed by Satan, would sell the Lord while the apostles prepared the Paschal meal. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.